Amen. Go to your Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, there are three words I'm going to have you mark in two different verses. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20. The first writing of John after his gospel, 1 John chapter 2. There's six chapters in this book, I believe. No, five chapters. I'm going to be looking at the second chapter. And I want you to look in verse number 20. I'm going to have you underline a word in this verse. Verse number 20, look at what the Bible says. But ye have an, say this word with me, unction from the Holy One. And ye know all things. Look down, if you will, in verse number 27. But the, say this word with me, anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same, say this word with me, anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, it is no lie. And even as it hath taught him, ye shall abide in him. Three words I had you mark, unction, anointing, and anointing. They are three different times in your New Testament here. But in the Greek New Testament, you'll find that each one of these words, anointing, anointing, and then unction, they are all the same Greek word. They are the Greek word chrisma. Now, we get our word Christ, if y'all are impressed with my Greek, I can tell this morning. But that comes from the Greek word, which we get the word Christ, Jesus Christ. The word Christ, it is the word, it means the anointed one. The one that was chosen, the one that was selected. If you remember in the Old Testament, whenever someone would go into an office, the priest's office, the high priest's office, or the king's office, they would anoint them with oil. They would, the Catholics say, christen them. It's the same idea, except the Catholics take it in a way that is abominable to God and everybody that does it. But whenever we use that, whenever the Bible uses that, it has the idea of pouring on the head. Why would they pour on the head? Here's why. Because whenever they poured on the head, they were separating that person for the office that they had been called to. For instance, whenever the high priest was anointed or christened or chrismod with that oil, it was a symbol that they were set apart for a certain office. Now, whenever the king was, he was anointed, he was set apart, he was unctionized. Now, you and I have all heard people say, and they talk about, boy, that preacher over there, he is really anointed. He has got the unction on him. Now, I understand what they're saying, and there is an aspect of truth to that because God does have certain people that he sets apart for certain works to accomplish certain things. But here's what you and I have got to understand, brothers and sisters. If you have been saved by the grace of God, the Bible tells us that every single one of us have been unctionized and we have the anointing of God on our lives. Every single one of us. Here is the point. If you have been saved by the grace of God, then you have the Holy Ghost. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have been saved and you have all of the Holy Ghost you could ever have. It's not a question of do you have all the Holy Ghost. It's always a question of does the Holy Ghost have all of you? That's always the question that you've got to answer. Now, here's what you've got to understand. The word anointing or unction, it comes from the word oil. And it is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever you see the moving oil, you are a picture or seeing a picture of the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Last night, I spent my night, like most of you spent your night last night, hunting for a gas station. Now, I don't know about most of you, but I had started reading some of the reports of this crack pipeline, and so I kindly got the idea of what was getting ready to go down. I understand how capitalism works. If you can make a dime, you're going to make a dime, and if you can make a quarter, you're going to make a quarter, and if you can squeeze a $5 bill out of what should have been a quarter, you're going to get a $5 bill out of what had been a quarter. Now, you say, preacher, that ain't right. Well, I can't say I wouldn't have done it. If I have a gas pump at my house, I'd be charging you $10 a gallon right now. I'm just saying that's just the way that the American society works. Now, here's what I do know. Andy, Opie, and Laura Lee Hobbs were all out hunting gas last night. Now, I ain't no fool. I know how this ball game works. They told me, I heard last night, that in the city, in Greensboro, in the city limits of Greensboro, you couldn't find gas. Now, if some of you shake your head and say, I found gas, don't tell me, because I drove around for 3.5 hours last night looking for gas. I really didn't drive around for 3.5 hours, but I would have if I had to find it. Say amen right there. Anyways, so I was driving around, and I knew this. I said, if I stay in the city limits, I'll never find gas because there's too many people inside the city limits hunting for the gasoline. I said, if I go outside of the city limits and if I get into the county, I'll find what I'm a-hunting. So I did. We pulled into the Citgo, and them fools at the Citgo didn't even have the decency to put a bag, a note, or anything on that pump to inform me that there was no gas. Here's my poor wife pumping gas. You say you let your wife pump gas. Bless God, I let her do whatever she wants to do. I'm in the feminist movement. If she wants to pump gas, bless God, she can pump gas. Say amen right there. I just know I'm not going to discriminate. If she wants to clean the house, she can clean the house. She wants to wash my drawers, she can wash my drawers. I ain't going to discriminate against her because I believe in empowering women. Say amen right there. I'm just kidding. Say amen. I'm just joking. So anyways, so she's pumping gas. She takes that credit card to Citgo. She sticks one in. Denied. I thought, that's all. I've never had a card be denied. I'll probably have 5 be denied today. But I never had that happen. So I said, put in the other one. She's denied. She put in another. I said, no, there ain't a problem with all 3 of our cards. I said, there's a problem. There ain't no gas. I need fuel. My car, that Tahoe, it don't run on good looks. Good thing it doesn't, because we'd be hurting pretty bad. It runs on gasoline. Here's the problem. I needed gasoline, but when I needed it the most, I could not find it. So we finally got further out into the county, and we went to a little gas station. We went to this little gas station, and we pull up at the pump, and my dear friend at that gas station did have the decency to put out on 2 of the 3 selections. I couldn't get 87, and I think it's 91. I couldn't get, but honey, I was willing at that moment to put anything that would burn the fire in my tank. I'd be willing to put. So I got me some of that high test 93. You say how much? Well, I don't care how much it was. I got to have gas in that car. Man, I put that 93 in there. I'd never heard that V8 hum like it was a humming. Son, that thing got to purring down the highway like I ain't never heard in all my life. That transmission was shifting better than it had ever shifted before. I even heard my little boy speaking in tongues in the back seat. He was so happy he had 93. I don't know all of what happened, but I do know this, Bob. When I needed gas, I was willing to go wherever I had to go to get that gas. And when I finally found that gas, you know what I did? I drove my kids home. I told my wife, I said, do not drive above the speed limit because you reduce your miles per gallon when you drive above the speed limit. So we got to the house. I told her, I said, take the kids inside, get them ready for bed, get them bath, or whatever you got to do. I said, I've got to go, and I've got to fill up my car. I want to make sure I've got enough gas in my vehicle. She said, do you think they'll have it? I said, I don't know, but I do know this. I said, there is a place I can go and find it, and while I can find it, I'm going to do everything in my power to go and find it, because what I need, I know they've got, and what they have, I know I need. I got on my phone on the way to that gas station, and I pulled in. As I was on my phone, I called my grandmother. I said, Granny, I said, I don't know if y'all filled up. I don't know if y'all done anything. I said, but they're saying that there ain't going to be no gas for a few days. And so if you need to top off, you need to top off. She said, where have you found it? I said, I have looked everywhere, but I have found it at one little gas station on the side of Highway 70. I have found me a little place where I can go and get fuel when I need fuel. God, I feel like preaching this morning. When I know I can't get it nowhere else, and when I know I need it, I can go to that one place. Honey, I pulled open my News and Record this morning, and I looked at this liberal newspaper, and on the front page it said this: area feels the effects of a gasoline shortage. I got to thinking, my Lord, you are about 12 and a half hours behind. We know we are feeling the effects of a gasoline shortage. Then I got to looking, and I got to thinking, and I got to pondering it. You realize if these people at this newspaper were as honest as they say that they are this morning, that they would have reporters at every church in Greensboro, and this is what the headline would read on Monday morning: the area is feeling the effects of an oil shortage at the house of God. There is a shortage of the moving of the Holy Ghost of God in our churches. There is a shortage of the pulling of the Holy Ghost of God in our churches. As I was driving home last night, you know me. If it costs me a dollar, I'm gonna figure out how it's gonna cost me $10. If I feel one germ, I'm dying with the flu. So last night I got to thinking on my way home. I got in my car. I said, I wonder what would happen if those fuel trucks got deterred and they were not able to bring any fuel. Do you realize how quickly this city would be shut down? Doctors would not be able to get to hospitals. Policemen would not be able to drive around the city. People would not be able to get to their jobs. Restaurants would not open. People would not be working at grocery stores. Moms and dads would not be able to get children to school. And a city could be shut down with one little thing, like a crack in a pipeline in the backwoods of Alabama, could cripple the entire eastern seaboard of the United States of America. I got to thinking last night, brothers and sisters, do you know how easily the God of heaven could shut down this nation? He could put us on our knees just like that with one little shifting in the flatlands of Alabama, one little earthquake in the backcountry of Alabama. He could shift that pipeline and he could snap that thing in a place that it would take them years to repair it. It would take them years to figure it out. And that while they were trying to figure it out, they would have people mutiny. They would have people running. They would have the government in shambles. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you and I have got to understand. If God can put the eastern seaboard on its knees with a little crack in an Alabama field somewhere, I wonder what the sovereign hand of an almighty God could do if his people don't turn back. You understand that what we have done to God, what we have thrown in the face of God, what we have slapped him in the face with day in and day out. On Friday, over 3,000 little babies were butchered inside of their mother's womb. And the God of heaven said, I detest and I despise whenever innocent blood is taken. There were men that ran around on their wives this past week, and their wives are innocent. There were women that were shacked up with other men that weren't their husbands. And God says, I will not tolerate that abomination. Ladies and gentlemen, here is my question. At what point is God going to say, I am done, I am through, you have it your way, you take it your way, you do what you want to your way, if you want it that way, if you want to live like the devil and walk like the devil and act like the demons and act like the demons are at your house, ladies and gentlemen, God say, you can have it. But I want you to watch something. Nowhere in the course of history have you ever seen God since the cross. Has God turned over a nation when until the people of God stopped being salt and light? It was not until the church said, you know what? We're going to do things our way and we'll just let come what come. Here's the point. Whenever the oil left the house of God and the lights went out, and the people started doing their own thing, ladies and gentlemen, that's when God says, all right, this thing is rotting and corrupting farther than I'm going to allow it to go. But this is what Brother John said in the New Testament. He said, brothers and sisters, every single one of us have an unction from the Holy One of God. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that has ever been saved by the grace of God, that has ever been to Calvary and had their sins washed away, God has put an unction on you, and God has put something in you, and God's put an oil in you, and it flows from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And God said, honey, if that oil is flowing, there are going to be some things present. Now, you say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever had any spiritual oil inside of my spirit. What does that mean? What are you talking about? Well, you got to understand, God gives us spiritual, it gives us pictures to give us spiritual truth. So you got to understand, what does a oil do? What does oil do? Well, think about this. Oil keeps fire burning. And an oil lamp, when the oil runs out, the lights go out. The moment that the oil is through, then the light is through. Now, I'm telling you tonight or today, whatever time it is, I'm telling you right now, there are some of you, you used to be bright and burning lights for the glory of God. Your light used to shine, honey. You used to walk around like a spiritual, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. The devil can't blow it out, honey, I'm going to let it shine. And the devil got to blowing against you, and the devil got to sweeping against you, and the devil got to working against you, and the devil got to moving against you, and the wind started blowing, and the wind started rolling, and the thunder started raging, and the lightning started flashing, and you can't figure out why did the light go out. Here's why the light went out. The light went out because the Holy Ghost stopped moving and you quenched the Spirit of God. Your sin got into our lives. Pride got into our heart. It got into our home. And the Holy Ghost, he stopped moving and we quenched the Spirit of the living God. Here's what you need to ask yourself today. If you're not shining, you need to ask yourself one or two questions. Number one, have I ever had light? Number two, why is my light not shining today? I am still convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that most of the people in hell from this nation will fall into hell off of a church pew. I am utterly and thoroughly convinced that the hottest parts of hell will be reserved for those people whose names were on a church roll, because you had the opportunity, but you would never throw in with God. And you've never had light, and you've never shone, and you've never been a light for Jesus because you've never had the oil of the Holy Ghost of God. Right now, I can feel in my soul what I felt as a 16-year-old boy at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church when that preacher man got up with that little bony finger and he got to waving it in the sky and he started saying, boys and girls, if you've never been saved, if you've never trusted in Christ, if you've never thrown in with God, if you do not have that time that you can go back to, and you say, I don't remember the date. It's not a date that's going to get you into heaven. It's a head-on collision with the God of glory that's going to get you into heaven, honey. And I never forget that day. My soul got to burning. I felt like my insides were coming on my outsides. I never knew what God was doing. All of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost of God say, son, you've not had a real light. You've been a flashlight. You've had a fake battery that keeps running out and running out and running out. You need a light from heaven and a light from God, honey. I threw in that day the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, 16 years old. I got doused in the oil of the Holy Ghost, filled from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and God's given me a light. God's given me a light. God's given me a light. God's given me a light since that day, because I got real fire on that day. But watch this. Oil only works when it's put into the vessel it must be used for. Oil keeps lights burning. Number two, you know what else you use light for? Because I'm trying to tell you today what it is that's got y'all kinked up. I'm trying to show you what's cracked on your colonial pipeline. I'm trying to show you where's all the gas going. Where's all the oil flowing to? You say, preacher, something's wrong. How do I know? Well, number one, is your light shining? Number two, you know what else oil is used for? Oil is used for cleansing. How many of you rednecks remember when you were a little boy or a little girl and your tummy would get to hurting, and boy, it'd get to rumbling, you'd eaten and eaten and eaten, and son, something had you all messed up. And man, you'd go in and tell mama, or you'd go in like me and tell my grandmother. I never forget, I was in the sixth grade. I got some messed up. Honest, Bob, I thought the devil had tied a bow tie with my intestines. I thought I was going to die. I called my family. They sent my grandma. Man, I got down to 1209 Randhurst Road. I went in, and what I did not know is that oil was getting ready to change my life. Son, I went in there. I'm wallowing on that couch. I said, oh, God, oh, God. She came at me, and she had a bottle of castor oil. You say what some of these young people are like, what's castor oil? Huh? Yeah, go to my grandma's, you'll figure it out. You didn't go to the doctor every time you had a stumped toe. You waited till your leg was chopped off and then they take you to the doctor. As long as they couldn't see flesh, you didn't see a doctor. Yeah, I had a broke leg. My family took showers before they took me to the hospital. Bones stuck up out of my leg, and they're in there bathing because they don't want the doctor to think anything wrong of them. I'm on the couch, and my leg looks like an L on the couch, turned to the left. And they're in there with their Bath and Body Works sudsy, getting so the doctor don't think that they're fools. But honey, I was at my grandmother's house. I was at my grandma's house. She took a bottle of life-altering, life-changing, cleansing oil. And for the next 2 hours, my life got turned upside down. But let me tell you something. When that castor oil got done, I was a new boy. You know why? Because the oil had done its job. Do you know what's got some of you and most of you kinked up right now? Is the fact you have not let the Holy Spirit of God cleanse out your spiritual life. You have doped in with the things of this world. You have sucked in with the things of this world, thinking that you can just live like you want, act like you want, do what you want, and see what you want, be where you want, and be around who you want, and all that trash will get inside of the pipeline of your life, and you can't figure out why the oil won't keep going and why it won't keep flowing. That's simple. You got trash in your pipe, and God may have to send the Holy Ghost down your way and clean your junk out. But this is what I know. While He's a cleaning, it is a life altering. Altering upside down, inside out. I have heard so many people, and I have seen so many people, and I am thoroughly convinced to this day, I am thoroughly convinced to this hour, that many people have come down to an altar and they had sorrow, but they were not repentant of their sin, because this is what my Bible says. It says that godly sorrow works repentance. You have to be more than sorry for your sin. You have to be sorry that you have hurt God because of your sin. And until you realize that you have offended God and you have broken His law, honey, nothing will ever change. But I'm telling you what, while God is pumping that oil through you, you feel like your spirit's going to turn upside, inside out. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you know that when you have castor oil, it ain't no wonder what you got inside of your... You're not sitting there wondering, I wonder if this stuff is going to work. You're not sitting there wondering, I wonder if that... Ladies and gentlemen, because of what is happening on the inside of you and what's a moving on the inside of you, you know that there's something bigger than me and more powerful than me working at hand. And when God gets to working on your soul, and when God gets to working on your life, and when the Holy Ghost gets to moving in your soul, you'll know this is not just another day in the house of God. This is not just another day with the people of God, but I feel the moving and I feel the breath and I feel the untangling of the God of glory working in my life. You know what we need, honey? We need the newspaper to say on the front page tomorrow, the people of God got cleansed out by heavenly castor oil down at the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you today, don't think you can pump that sludge and pump that filth into your life and God not love you enough to clean you out, because my Bible still tells me that if you're not a son of God, He will not chasten you. But if you are a son of God or a child of God whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. And God's not going to let you and I get by with that junk. God's not going to let you and I get by with that filth. He's not going to let you and I get by with living like that. He's going to make sure we're cleaned up, we're cleansed out, and we're on the straight and narrow. Do you know why? Because there are people that are coming by our way. There are people coming by the house of God, coming by your life, and they need gasoline, and they need fuel, and they need oil in their life, and God's not going to have you kink up their flow because your flow is kinked up. I'm telling you today, you can like it lumpy, bump it, or trumpet, but some of you need a good old-fashioned dose of heavenly castor oil in your system to clean your junk out. Let me give you the third thing oil does. Oil reduces friction between two moving parts. I was given a watch as a gift several years ago. It's a beautiful watch, a nice watch. And the watch got to where it wouldn't keep time good. So I'd never had a nice watch, so when my watches got slow, my Walmart specials, I just threw them away and went and got me another one, you know. But I realized this, you don't just throw away these watches. So I went to the jeweler. And what I did not realize is I was getting ready to get into a world that I was very unfamiliar with. You got to understand, my wife and I, we didn't even go window shopping. Because if one of us smudged our fingers on the window, we couldn't afford the Windex to clean it off. So we didn't even go window shopping. So this watch was given to me, and I finally took it to the jeweler. And when I went into that jeweler, inside, I went to the back, and he pulled out of his satchel. If I'm lying, I'm dying. He pulled out what my doctor listened to my little baby's heart with. It was a stethoscope. And he put that stethoscope on that watch. And he listened, and he said, "It sounds to me like your watch is slow." I said, "Thanks a lot, Jack. I knew that before I walked in this juke joint." I said, "Why is it slow?" That's what he told me. He said, "Well," and he pulled out these glasses. And he popped this lens in this glass, and like five different layers come out in front of him. And he's looking in the back side of my watch. And he says, "Oh, there's your problem." "Okay, what is it?" That's what he said. He said, "There's no oil between the gears. And it's causing the gears to have friction, and when they expand because of the heat, they're shearing each other. And because there is no oil, they are shearing each other, and they are going to destroy each other." The majority of the problems in the house of God come because two different sides, neither one of them are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The reasons you're having the problems you're having in your marriage is because there is not the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in your marriage. Because this is what I know. Two gears are always going to create friction. But you know what that oil does? That oil keeps those two gears in line and keeps them from shearing each other off. Many of the problems that I'm looking into the eyeballs of people are coming because you have not the Spirit of God. The Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not one of Christ. You do not belong to Him. You have never been saved. But you know what I did? Yesterday, last night, I went, and I finally found me a place where I could get some oil, some gas. And I went. Now look, that newspaper article I had, it has some tips on conserving fuel for everybody. Number one, it said this. It said, do not just top off. Wait till you're empty. No. I don't think so. That ain't happening. You say, why not? Here's why. Because I don't know, the next time I go, they may not have gas. And I can't take the chance of missing out on an opportunity to get doused in what my engine needs. It also said this. It said, do not take containers and fill up the containers. He said, that's going to be hogging. And he said, don't do that. Every gas station I looked at, every redneck in the county had gone to their cousin, their uncle, and Bubba, their next-door neighbors, and had gotten every 5-gallon drum that they could find and were filling those bad boys up. Do you know why? Here's why. I don't blame them. Here's why. They knew they needed something. And they knew this may be the only place I can find it. You know what I did? My wife pumped gas out. I got back out there and I was pumping my gas, and I did something I've never done before and I don't think I'll ever do it again. I took that nozzle, and in my tank, you know, normally I'm in such a hurry, I just fill it up when it clicks, I take it out and put it back. I took that nozzle and I took it out and I clicked it around in the metal ring of my gas can. You know why? Because now every drop mattered. Because I knew that it was getting mighty, mighty scarce. And so now every drop You say you look full. I wasn't worried about how I looked because looks were not going to drive my car. It took gas. There are some of you here today, and you are so concerned with how you're going to look if you throw all the way in with God. Here's my question to you. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Because this is what you're going to find very soon. That not only is the gas gone, but God is gone. What are you going to do tomorrow if you wake up and find out there was a fire at Church Street last night? The pastor's gone. The deacons are gone. Most of the church is gone. Where will you go to church? You say, I'll find a place. I'm talking about a church where the Holy Ghost is welcome. You see, gas stations are getting harder to find with gas, and so are churches with the Holy Ghost. You know what you need to do? You need to drain every last drop you can. Get every last little juice out of it you can. I mean, get involved in every piece of it you can. We got Awana's now on Wednesday night. They need more workers. And then, you know what I did? I went and called my family. And I said, guys, I said, don't even waste your time going down the road. Don't waste your time going into town. There ain't nothing to find there. They're all out. But there's a little old place on the side of the highway. And they've still got... They don't have any 87. You're not going to get the low test stuff. Only thing you're going to find over there. It's the real stuff. But I can promise you it's going to make that engine hum and it's going to make that transmission purr. Granny, now it's going to cost you a little bit more to get there and to go and to pay for that. It's going to cost you a little bit more. You may have to drive a little bit further. You may have to go a little bit farther. You may have to deal. But you know what? It's worth it. Because now... I have found a place where the oil is. So you know what you need to do? And then you know what I'm asking? I asked the guy beside me. I said, are you going to finish and top off yours too? I said, don't waste them drops. I said, they're precious. They're precious. Some of you need an old-fashioned dose of heavenly castor oil tonight or today. Some of you just need your light turned back on. And then some of you, you just need to get saved. You just need to get saved. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm begging you now to glorify your name. Oh God, I'm praying now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, glorify. Lord, draw your people. We don't know how to seek you as we ought to, but God, I'm telling you right now, we need the Holy Ghost of God. Some of the people here today, they've never been saved. Let it be easy on them to come. God, some of your people need to get that trash out of their line. It's stopping the flow of the oil. Beg of you now, glorify your name. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to invite you to this altar. People of God, I want you to come this morning, right now, right now. Make it easy. 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 Make it easy.